Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Guidance is internal. Ignition sequence starts. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Permission to board, please.
Permission to come aboard.
Permission to board.
Permission to board.
Do I have some permission to board that sweet mothership?
This is the Permission Granted Podcast. Here's DA.
Welcome inside the final PGP, the Permission Granted Podcast, the show about the show, the show within the show. I don't need to tell you how to get this because if you don't know by now, you're kind of SOL. So joining us here for the final recap of the DA show is going to be, at least on the CBS Sports Radio side of things, the great Andrew Bogish, Pat Boyle in here as well, and Bilotti's going to be joining us shortly. Mr. Bogeyman, good morning.
DA, good morning to you. Good morning, Boyle. And of course, Pete has more important things to do right now than be here on time.
I ran out of time at the end of the show to let you guys say something, and I realized that after we were wrapping up, and I'm like, crap, I absorbed all of that space, and you got in at the very end, Bogues, but then I forgot to give Bilotti a chance to say anything, so that's why I want Bilotti to be in here to say whatever he wants to say, but I don't think he's that interested anyway in doing so, so maybe I shouldn't feel that bad.
I think he said plenty over the last 2 days. He who shall not be named has a great heart.
Yep.
Stephen Murray is a great person. Bilotti was as emotional and over the top as expected these last two shows.
Okay, so we're about 22 minutes after we signed off the air. I have not had a text, call, or any of the bosses stop by to be like, hey, nice final show, or what can we, you know, thanks for the 11 years, or here's your Odyssey coins or whatever. Should I be excited that I'm just going to get to slip out cover of the night like the Baltimore Colts leaving? Or should I be somewhat like, wow, nobody's even going to say goodbye?
I think someone should have said goodbye. I am surprised that our fearless leader, David Marinick, was not there from the beginning.
Yeah, because he loves the show.
Right. He just loves the show, and he's a good boss and a good you know, human being. I figured he would have been there guaranteed. The rest of the hierarchy, differing degrees of confidence in their their presence at the end. But I thought for sure David would have been there. Although, again, it is historically raining in New York today, so people may still be on their way in hours and hours and hours late. So maybe he planned to be there but couldn't. But I do want to ask, I think I heard somebody mid-show open the door and applaud for you.
Yeah.
I think it was BT. Am I right?
That is right. Brandon Tierney, who has been part of the CBS Sports Radio family for a number of years and 2 years ago moved over to the local side of things in WFAN, has been teamed with Tiki Barber for a long time. He came in and my microphone was on, so the on-air light was definitely lit, and he came in and he just gave me a little applause and a nod, and I was like, thanks, man. And he's like, oh, are you on the air? And I was like, yeah, we're in the middle of a show. But there was a call on, so he didn't see me talking, so I think he assumed we were in commercial break. But yeah, it was great to see BT, and he said some really nice things.
Yeah, I heard it, and I saw your eyes go, and then I watched the shot behind Boyle, And there's that little sliver of glass out into our newsroom. And I saw a big figure in a hoodie go by, lumbering his way down the hallway. I was like, that's got to be BT.
Yeah, it was really cool. And then during commercial break, we caught up. And you know, he was very complimentary of the show and what we had built and the new opportunity for me. So that was cool to talk to him and hear nice things.
Pulling back the curtains, too. That was in the middle of Denise and Harrisburg's poem.
Oh, that's the poem.
So you might have missed like 30% of her poem. Well, BT is clapping in your face.
I will have to go back and listen to the full episode in Denise's poem. All right. Well, the two days swan song wrapped up, and I thought it was really good. I thought it was kind of the perfect tenor, that it wasn't like overly like a funeral. And it was mostly, you know, happy for the memories and things like this. A lot of listeners got involved, a lot of callers. I thought overall it went well. I nearly broke talking about my friend Chris Snow, who just passed away after complications of ALS, but he battled for so long. That nearly got me. But, you know, no crying, no tears. Overall, Bogues, I thought it was a win.
It was a very good show. I have to apologize on behalf of my immune system for letting me down at the worst possible moment. I cannot believe that I couldn't be in the building with you guys for these last two shows. But yeah, I mean, it was perfect. It was not overly dramatic. It was not, there are still ridiculous moments. I mean, Schwartz delivered in spades on Thursday.
Unbelievable.
Redoing a stun, missing on Pete jokes. I mean, he was perfect, perfect Schwartz.
He delivers every time. He delivered again today. He played a clip in his first update that we did in the open.
Yep. And Caserta walking off on Thursday. Katie Lindendahl perfect on Friday. It had everything.
It had everything, yeah. It really did. Boyle, now being part of it, what'd you think?
I thought it was great. Is it wrong of me to say that Thursday was better than Friday?
No. What made Thursday better, you think?
Well, Friday, today, you gave everybody the chance to say goodbye, to send you off, to wish you farewell. So I thought it was like the ticker tape parade. But Thursday, I thought, was winning the championship.
Mm.
We had Shawnee there, which you guys have been together for all but the last 3 months. What else do we have on Thursday? We had Caserta. I feel like we had a bigger cast of people working on the show.
And Schwartz's ridiculous updates.
So we have Bogish to thank for that we even got those moments. But I just felt like Thursday was the analogy of winning the championship. Friday was the parade.
I could see that. And this weather is somewhat like cataclysmic. So for it to be on this day.
Cataclysmic?
Seems like, I don't know I don't love the symbolism, but it, you know, like Twitter is just all over. Have you seen this, Bogues, or maybe the news or whatever? It's just massive flooding all over New York City today.
I mean, I'm not joking. I'm not necessarily sure how you're going to get home right now. I'm sitting here looking at like the New York City, like emergency department, like Twitter feed, and basically every road around Manhattan has some kind of closure somewhere because of flooding. So, like, you might not be allowed to stop working at CBS Sports Radio today.
It's so perfect. It's so perfect.
I mean, I was nervous waking up and knowing what the forecast was, that you weren't going to be able to get in today to do your last show from in the building.
Yeah, I made it in, but it was pretty heavy rain coming in. But I left a little bit earlier. But yeah, it's a monsoon out there. And is this still that Hurricane Ophelia?
No, this is a whole different thing that doesn't have a name. It's not like an actual storm, but it's just they're just picking up water from the ocean, like off the coast, and just dumping it back down onto New Jersey and New York and Connecticut. Like, I already have 4 inches of rain in my neighborhood, which is crazy.
Four?
Yeah,
wow.
Four.
It is so funny that it's so quiet here today. The salespeople don't come in on Fridays.
They don't come in most days.
Maybe some support staff wouldn't come in on a Friday. Maybe people are scared off by the rain. But it is so quiet, it feels like a nighttime on a weekend. And no pizza, no soda, no band, no bosses, no nothing. It's like, we just did that show, but it just feels like, yeah, middle of the night and on a Saturday. It's so bizarre around here.
We did have Taco Bell breakfast.
Yeah, that's true. That was a good celebration.
But yeah, it sucks that it had to literally be a hurricane outside, because otherwise you probably would have gotten a bigger send-off.
Maybe, but I don't know. And I will say, I think it might have helped not make things, as Bogus said, overly dramatic. You know, the Mraz send-off, everybody made fun of us because it was overly dramatic. But, you know, if you don't have anybody around to, like, feed off of, it kind of feels like it doesn't matter. So, I don't know, Bogus, it kind of has worked out pretty well.
I guess so. I mean, it would be nice for somebody other than security to walk you out today. I mean, there could have been a handshake, a pat on the back, some official goodbye from somebody who's above you on the organizational flowchart. But it is probably better that you can just now leave when Mother Nature lets you leave. You don't have to wait to do those handshakes and awkward goodbyes. You can just pack up your stuff, your spicy pepper costume, and get out of there.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
How ridiculous was that, by the way?
You had to go out absurd.
You did have to go out absurd. Did you have any other outfit options or choices or any other way to go out in an absurd way that you had thought about?
No, I knew the Wizard of Oz is a good way to go out as well. And because he's been so terrible, it makes it even funnier. So I knew I had to dress that one up. And, you know, earlier in the week, and maybe even last week, Pete had put together Closing Time. Is that by Speedball? Is that right, Bogues?
Speed something.
I don't think that sounds right.
Closing Time.
I can Google it right now.
Time for new beginning.
Semisonic.
Oh, Semisonic does it. Okay.
Speedball.
Yeah, Speedball does one of those other mid-90s kind of like soft.
No, I think you take a Speedball and then you listen to them.
Speedball does another one-hit wonder.
Speedball is an artist. Yeah. And their most famous song is My Tears.
Not the one I'm thinking of. But I heard Semisonic Closing Time. I'm like, oh, that's a really good song for the end of the show. Closing, where every new beginning is from some other beginning's end. I was like, oh, that'd be good. Then the more that I thought about it, I'm like, yeah, but I don't want it to be like a funeral ending. I'm on the air on Monday. I mean, it's like, it's very weird to kind of have your own funeral when you know you wake up after the weekend and you're right back to work until further notice. I mean, I'm not allowed to stop working here. So it's the end of this iteration of the show, but it certainly isn't the end of the DA show. So I didn't want it to be too sappy or melodramatic. So I thought about it, then I said, nah, I don't really like the tone of that. So I kind of just wanted to go out having fun, and I thought, well, I rarely get to wear that pepper costume. I've only got to wear it once. Let's get some more use out of it. And kind of felt perfect to wrap up what is supposed to be a finality with, you know, wearing a giant stupid pepper.
Is your Cam Newton get up somewhere in the building still? Or did that make its way home by now?
Yeah, it's either home or thrown out. You know, okay. It's only so long you can keep old Halloween costumes, because you really can't recycle old Halloween costumes.
No.
True.
You can't. Is there anybody that you heard from today, or is there anybody you didn't hear from that you thought you would have, either in guest form or caller form?
You know, maybe some of the dealings, like a moist pork. Maybe some of the guys that showed up to, but they also tweeted and emailed, so they didn't have to call.
Moist pork was terrified of getting on the air.
Yeah, and breaking up.
Well, yeah, and like crying.
Yeah,
it was also hard to get through. They were tweeting about and messaging about how busy the phones were. So people might have tried and not been able to actually convert.
You're right. And I don't mean to single out Moist Pork, because he did send me a really nice email, and I know that he tweeted at me and things like that. So I guess, no, nobody. Like, it was awesome to have Katie. I'm so glad you guys hooked up Katie with the show, because that was really cool and fun. But yeah, it was just, I don't know. I thought it was the perfect way to send things off. People saying goodbye, but good luck, and I'll follow you, or I'm looking forward to the new show on CBS Sports Radio. A lot of love for Bilotti and Bogues and Cap, and that's kind of the way that it ought to be. So Bilotti joins us here in studio, and Pete, we were just saying, is it weird that I signed off the air and it's now almost a half hour after, more 35 minutes, and a boss hasn't texted me or come over and said goodbye? Let's put his mic on here. What's
I've got his mic up, I think.
That's your mic. Radio. What's his mic?
Radio.
Well, if you're in the room I think we usually use, one of those mics just doesn't work.
Does one of those mics not work? Okay.
I've got his mic up, and it's not working.
It's not working. So, Pete, swing over with Boyle, and then you guys can just kind of go back and forth because I can hear Bogues. And we're going to keep all this in because it's the Permission Granted podcast and is supposed to be a little clunky. So what do you think, Pete? Should I be weirded out? Then
Well, they're not here.
Yeah.
They're not here.
They're not present.
And let's also say in the New York City area, it is basically raining 8 inches an hour right now.
Yeah.
So it's a deluge of rain, and it's horrible outside.
Yeah.
So from that standpoint, you factor that in.
Okay.
But from what we've discussed, I think you'll hear from one of that at some point.
Okay. All right.
I'm trying to think positive. You know, it's a good way.
Well, I don't know. Maybe this is positive that they don't even think it's like that serious and just like no problem.
No, I think they will. You'll hear from one of them. I would think. I would hope.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I guess. How'd you think the final two shows went?
I thought they went very well and what they should have been, especially the last show, which was hearing from RD Aliens and hearing from the listeners, hearing from the guests that have been on our show, the crew that have been on our show. That's what it is. That's what the show basically was all about, and it was very personable to many people, and it was the best way to go out. And now you're on to other things and start some new chapter for you, and a fresh start for you. And it was the perfect way to close the book on this. Not too many tears. Enough light stuff. It was good.
Yeah. I'm glad you say that. I regret not being able to give you guys space at the end of the show to say something because we had this long send-off with Mraz that lasted 5 weeks and we all had these kind of teary goodbyes. And then I ended up absorbing all of the oxygen in the room in the final hour with a dumb Pepper costume on and I didn't let you say anything sentimental.
No, look, I said what I need to say. Yes, the Thursday show.
Okay, and Boyle said Thursday's show was actually maybe the better show. Yeah.
Oh, really?
That's what I think.
Okay.
Because of your effort, Pete.
I thought they were all different. They were both different, but both on the same wavelength.
Yeah.
Thursday, I made a point to say what I needed to say on Thursday because Friday should be about you and about the listeners. A lot of stuff, I'll go back. I'll say what I said on Thursday. A lot of stuff I'll keep to myself. A lot of thoughts I have about it. But you were the Tony Gwynn in terms of longevity. I thought you were going to be here forever at CBS Sports Radio. But you really
came close.
You did. I was going to be like the guy with the stapler in Office Space,
yeah, right.
Sitting down in the basement.
That's right.
But you were very reliable employee. Like if you look at it from an employee standpoint. I mean, if I'm hiring somebody, I'm hiring you. It's a total package. The program's a total package. And you come in, you're reliable. You care about what you do. And I wish there was more people in the business like you.
I appreciate that, Pete. Yeah, it's feelings mutual, man. And yeah, I said what I needed to say on the air about all you guys and how much I love you and how talented you guys all are. You know,
you didn't call me reliable, though. I always showed up, too, except for these last 2 days.
Yeah, not so reliable, Bogues, at the end, when you really needed you.
Setting a new tone. Maggie and Prof are barely going to see me. I'm a whole new person.
I thought that, you know, the show was so special for so long, it kind of couldn't keep going on forever. You'd love for it to go on forever, but the fact that we got as much time as we did was the real gift because, you know, Bogues, you had mentioned this. You've been through multiple stops in your career as well. It's a volatile industry. Things get blown up. People get fired. People get promoted. Business changes. Management changes. People get bought out. You know, so the fact that we had the five of us together for 6 years was really special. The fact that I was with Mraz for 11 years was really special. That part, I think, is really unique, and, like, today feels like an end, but also, like, yeah, I mean, how long can it really last in such a volatile business?
But it also is in line with some of the other great sports talk shows. I mean, I you know, people have changed individually, but you know, the Jim Rome operation continues. Dan Patrick's operation continues. Different pieces for sure, but like, you know, we've had the honor of being high on some lists of best national talk shows, sports talk shows, and a lot of the shows around us have similar continuity because I think, you know, we really did belong alongside those kind of household names and those big time shows and on bigger networks, different networks, whatever the reason for it. But, you know, we belong there. And one of the reasons why we got our spot there is because we all hung out together for so long and nobody got pissed at anybody else or needed to actually, you know, needed to leave. Or in me and Pete's case, nobody wanted us and asked us to go anywhere else. So we were just, you know, we were all together and it could not have gone any better.
Yeah, I agree with all of that. Pete, what do you think about just like the D'Aliens and the way that they kind of connected to the show that we heard today? I mean, I think we knew there was a love, but I thought that today really was special because people got to verbalize it and people that we don't normally hear from or whatever. That feels like it really makes you feel like what we did had an impact, which is awesome.
Yeah, they flooded the phones. You could tell just by the volume of calls we got into the show. They're remarkable. The fans of the DA show are the most unique fans I've seen working on the show, and I've worked on a lot of shows.
Yeah.
They're very loyal, and it's a group. You know, it's not. It may not be like... It may not be plane loads of people. It may be a smaller group, but that smaller group, it has so many quality people on it. So many, and we saw it at Bob's Bar. We've seen it on Twitch. We've seen it on YouTube. So many quality people. And I told, like, I sent them a note on Twitch right at the end of the show that we really appreciate what you bring to us because we are here for them. And they drive us. And I hope that whatever happens, that hopefully they can get a little bit of both, of both sides of it. From a competitive standpoint, listen to us more than him, all right, please, on Monday.
Yeah.
But hopefully this is a good way for the D'Aliens to kind of listen to two different things and to branch off. I'm going to miss that group together altogether. Because, you know, people are going to go in different ways with what goes on here. But they are, there's no words to describe them. I tried to describe them there, but I'm so in awe of them. They're the best. They're so generous. Just what they did for us when we with AJ and with Kerry.
Putting together their own money to send us gift cards for
the
babies.
They didn't have to do any of that. I nor do we ever expect anything like that.
Yep.
We just want you to enjoy yourself and listen. And the thing that amazed me was how listeners called and it just helped them through bad times, you know, and this medium and hosts and staffs that connect with people like that, it's a different level. And I'm, you know, this business has helped me during bad times, and I'm so glad that it's helped other people in their times of need.
Well said.
Because this is a medium for the people at its root. And I'm glad that we were able to do it.
Yeah, that's well said. Bogues, we got to see this up close and personal in Boise, Bob's Bar shows. But it is really amazing, isn't it, how many quality people we've met through the show that listen to the show. People that you're like, wow. They do feel like my friends because I would be their friend even if we didn't have the radio show in general or not. Together, you know, as a common theme.
Yeah, and whether it's Boise or Bob's Bar, like I grew up in New York. I listened to Mike and the Mad Dog. I listened to Howard Stern. I never would have considered going to any remote show that they were doing to see the show in person, to meet them. It never would have crossed my mind. As much as I listened, as much as I love them. So the fact that anybody wants to do that for us is always going to be mind-boggling to me. And then the amount of messages that I've gotten individually, or we've gotten as a group since you announced this, about like the real bad stuff that we help people get through. I mean, it's like it's startling, because you know there are times where you've got no idea who's listening and how many people are listening and why exactly they're listening, or if what we're doing is working. And to get all of those messages in particular is it means a lot to me, and I will never forget them. And I'm very, very proud that even for like a minute or two, that we did anything that important for some of them, for some people who are strangers, and now they're not anymore. But it's just it's a remarkable thing to even have a little tiny hand in.
Totally, and that right there, Pete, is why I love radio so much. What Bogus just said, it's so intimate that your audience feels like they know you every single day on a very personal level. And so when they're going through something awful, they really do feel like you're there with them.
Mm-hmm.
That
exactly.
You are their support system.
Yeah.
And you're in TV, it doesn't feel that way.
No.
You do a show on YouTube, but it doesn't feel that way. You write a newspaper column or an online writer, it doesn't feel that way. But when you're on the radio talking in real time to people, unfiltered, and they connect you with the moment in their life. Was it Mariana who had benchmarks of all of mm-hmm. her life while listening to the show? That connection is why radio is so important, and it matters, and why we love doing it.
And speaking of her, I reached out to her after she called, and I said, I told her thank you very much for all the kind words you get, because she was one of those the aliens that would reach out on occasion, just like pumping us up, you know, if there was a rough day or whatever. And she was just she's just so friendly. And I told her, I'm like, thank you for everything. Please, I hope you're able to stick around with us and listen to the new content we provide from both sides. And it's just, it connects. It's a bond. And I think it goes to the thought of, and something that I've always subscribed to, I'm a fan of less script in anything that we do in broadcasting. I mean, some things, like you do a television show, you do a movie, you're going to need a script. But I'm all for the improv, all for the speak off the from the heart, speak without that following a script, because that is what people want to hear. People want to be able to, oh, this guy or this girl or whomever can connect with me. I feel comfortable. I can go walk the dog and I listen and I can go do whatever and listen and it's part of my day. I feel like you don't get that a lot with other mediums. You get it with radio and with where it's evolving in the audio standpoint. But radio, live radio, it can't be beaten. It'll never go away.
It can't be beat, and it can't be beat by podcasts either.
No.
Because podcasts are formatted or taped and then uploaded and published. Live is so different.
Yes.
You're reacting in real time as the listener hears you react in real time. So it's just such a different, I think, mental connection that you have. And I think when you listen to a radio show as a podcast, it's certainly effective, but it's effective because you know it was done in real time.
Yep.
At one point
exactly.
in time.
Exactly. Exactly. And I wish we in our business, and I think it's going there, we're going more toward live forms of entertainment in the audio standpoint. I think it continues that way. Hope it does. Everyone tapes everything. Everyone tapes something. But our core should always be live and always be able to connect and have that two-way talk where you could talk to a listener on the phone or through social media. We need that. Everyone needs that at their core, I think.
Yeah, I totally agree. Pete, we might not be able to get out of the city today. Bogus is telling me that every river crossing is flooded.
I saw that.
I mean, the FDR and the
over by the airport
the
over
highway.
Here, there's like a overpass and the water... It's right by Citi Field. The water is up to like halfway between. I don't know how I'm going to get home. I asked my wife how it's going at home. She says it's raining. Okay. I appreciate that, Bridge. I do. I love you too. So it really is. I don't know what to expect when I walk out there. I think the city's worse than the island. So yeah. We'll see.
Okay.
Yeah, it does get better the more east you go.
Yeah.
But you guys gotta get out of Manhattan, and like all the roads to the bridges are a mess because all those highways are tiny, skinny, two lane roads that dip and go down, and that's where all the water is collecting. Like, you guys are in a lot of trouble.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Really nice. Well, really looking forward to that commute.
Yeah, and horrible drivers too. Add that on top of it. Guys that want to go like they're in the Indianapolis 500.
When you look on Google Maps, what you're looking for is green. As it gets a little orange, a little more of a tight bottleneck. As it gets red, it means it's traffic. What I'm seeing from the Lincoln Tunnel and the George Washington Bridge and basically every crossing is a deep, dark brown.
Oh,
so
no.
I haven't seen that color yet in my life.
Are
so.
You kidding me?
I mean, at one point, like, the subway system, like, just kind of wasn't running because there was just water in so many places.
I'm seeing no problems right now getting back to Hoboken.
Oh,
so.
Okay. Are you driving or are you taking the train?
I drove. I'm honestly worried that my tires might not be visible when I walk outside the building.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap up on that note. Bilotti, I appreciate your friendship and your work throughout the years, and this won't be the last time that we work together, I'm sure.
Oh, of course. I appreciate it very much, and you'll do great over there, and you'll knock them dead like you always do. And we're off to the next show on the morning train at CBS Sports Radio. And I'll tell you, Maggie Perloff, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
We've had some conversations already, and they're really into it, and they really appreciate what we've done in this spot. So
good.
So I'm looking forward to starting something new. New is always good. New is always good in this business.
Yeah.
You need it. So I hope people stick with us and listen to all the new content that's coming up.
Right on.
Yes, and our new podcast, Unkillable, debuts on Monday as well.
Bogues, you're the man. Dude, I appreciate everything that you did for the show. And like I said, man, I wouldn't go to war with anybody but you. So appreciate all everything that you've been to the show as well.
No, thank you for letting me do my thing. It didn't have to be that way, so I appreciate the free reign to be a dope so many times. I'll never forget it, and hopefully this is not the end. And I'll point out, I know the guys you're going to work with, you probably should have talked to me a little sooner than making your decision. I might have had a nugget or two that could have changed the course of radio history, but Godspeed, my friend.
All right, back at you. I'm going to let Pete the Body get out of here. I'm going to let Bogish get out of here, and I just want to talk to Boyle here for a second, because Boyle was the spectator in all of this as he kind of like floated in the last couple of weeks, last couple of months, really, as we had the executive producer role open up as Mraz, you know, went over to the WFAN side. So what's been your experience kind of watching the show from afar, then working on the show within the last 2 days?
Yeah, I remember when I first started working here, and I would be running the board on the overnights in fall of 2019. And I just remember at times when I'm getting done and I see you, the four of you guys, in the break room, sitting down in like a circle, kind of, I guess, going over what the show was going to be like, how it was going to sound. And I had not worked on CBS Sports Radio. I had not worked on the network until I started working with you guys. And I think that was summer of 2021. And even then, that first summer was kind of brief because I was brand new. There was still, it seemed like a decent amount of people working here. Maybe not, but seeing the show from afar and like seeing strangers and just only, you know, judging them by their covers, judging them by how they looked. And
we look like a ragtag bunch, I'm sure.
Yeah. There was nothing negative that I formed. Just, I don't know, just however you think of somebody before you even get to meet them. And then when Dave Mayernick asked me to work on the show, at that point I had become pretty good friends with Sean. I had the whole Boomer Esiason couch thing, writing him the note, taking the, you know, quote unquote, taking the beer out of his fridge.
Right.
And Sean was on my side from the get-go with that. So I knew I had an ally once I started working on the show. And then I did the first couple of shifts. You guys were very welcoming right away. And within the first 2 days of working on the show, I was like, wow, this is different. This is a different show than I've ever experienced, that I've ever listened to, that I've ever worked on, and I fell in love with it. I fell in love with it, man. The way that you guys have an incredible electric chemistry where you had chemistry between you and Bogues. There's chemistry between you and Pete. You and Mraz had 11 years worth of chemistry. Then there's chemistry like big brother, little brother, it seemed like, between Bilotti and Sean.
Right.
And then you have Mraz and Bogus fighting about everything under the sun. It was all the relationships within the show that you could make bits out of every single day. And you guys could make 30 minutes of laughter out of the dumbest conversation and out of the dumbest things. That's what people flock to in the morning. They want to hear people that care. They want to hear people that can talk sports. But they want to hear people that can laugh and have fun and know that these guys are having a good time. They can relate. They're relatable. And I want to listen to them. I want to be there. And that's why you had jammed phone lines for 4 hours. You could have done a 12-hour show and the phones would have been busy the entire time. And half of them were people that maybe you didn't even know existed before. There's a couple people that were first-time callers. Just think about how many thousands are either too nervous or just too busy driving in the car to call in and wait on the line and say something, but you know that you have thousands and hundreds of thousands of more listeners that you may have never even heard from, people that don't have social media. It's incredible, the reach. And again, I fell in love working on the show, and I wanted like hell to be your producer. And going through that search process and, you know, what ended up being the holding period while everything played out was torture for me, because I just wanted to get that phone call and say, hey, we want you to be DA's producer. And, you know, like you said on the show and like you said here, it would not shock me in the slightest if we end up working together some way, somehow down the line. And I will be looking forward to that moment like you can't believe. But the 2+ years and the 100 or so, 120, 150 or so shows that I worked on with you guys was incredible. And, you know, I learned lessons on how to be a pro from you. Thank you for taking me under your wing, for demanding the best out of me, both consciously and subconsciously. You made me want to be the best version of myself. Same thing with Pete. He made me, you know, terrified to ever be late again. Shawnee made me want to be as creative and be as myself as I possibly could, because seeing the way he was just truly himself and over the top himself, you know, showed how to play a character for both people on the show and the people that listen. Because when you're in it, I don't know if you really can, you know, kind of sense what's going on, rather than when you listen to a show on the radio and you paint the picture of the characters in your head. So I learned an immense amount of things from you guys, and I'm going to miss it. But now, you know, like I said, I've got another opportunity. I'm still searching for this producer job here for now, Maggie and Parlov. So we'll see how that goes. But I can't thank you guys enough.
Back at you, buddy. You've been a huge asset to the show. Listeners loved you. You were a natural fit. And, you know, had the show continued in its current form, you would have been an elite executive producer. I have no doubt about it. I just want to wrap up with this thought. I kind of broke up talking about it with Chris Snow. I went to college with Chris at Syracuse. He was in newspaper writing. He became a journalist. He was a hockey fanatic. He was the rare journalist that covered the sport and then graduated to working in the sport in an administrative role. And he rose up into the front office of the Calgary Flames. Chris was beloved by everybody and was diagnosed with ALS a couple of years ago. And his battle has been public. Chris Snow's battle to fight and to fight to find a solution to ALS, a cure for ALS, treatment for ALS was very public. He raised tons of money. His family did as well with his battle through the NHL. And he passed away. The doctor said, and his wife was very public about the battle to try to help others and show the light of who he was, that he went to bed and the doctor said he's not going to wake up. And, you know, you can only imagine how crushing that is. I brought that up on Friday's show and I couldn't quite get through it, only because I think that, people will be sad that this radio show is gone, but we need to keep in perspective that we got a chance to live this and nothing should be taken for granted. And the fact that we got 11 years is the gift versus that it ends now. I want to always focus on the positives. And it's like when you lose a loved one, you know, instead of worrying so much about they're not there anymore, you appreciate the fact of how long you did have them. And those are the things you carry forward with you. So Chris passing away this week kind of, to me, was very symbolic of also, you know, the happiness you can leave behind, because what he leaves behind is this amazing legacy that will go on forever, where people will try to find a solution for ALS because he was a fighter and he was an inspiration. And the second thing is kind of dovetailing into that is just because everything is not guaranteed, to just be the best version of yourself as much as you can, because you just don't know what the time looks like. And I'm really proud of this show because we didn't take days off. There was not a show on a random Thursday in February or a Tuesday in June where we came in and said, just open up the phone lines, get a few guests on the line, and like, let's mail it in and get to 10 a.m. Every day was max out the show. This segment is about this. Have the audio ready for this. This segment has this benchmark. Let's go here. Let's get this guest. You know, because if you go through life and you kind of mail it in, then you walk out of the other side and go, God, I wish I had done more. I wish I could have done this. And there's no regrets after this 11 years. We maxed out everything about the show. I mean, you know, I know people wanted to see another couple of years of this show, and certainly CBS Sports Radio seemed happy to keep it going. But I don't know how much more we could have wrung out of this thing. It was every day we did as much as we humanly could with what we had at our disposal. And it was a phenomenal ride. And we got more resources and opportunities than most. And I'm glad that, you know, we took advantage of every single one of them. And now I hope to do the same thing in my new slot, where I'll have even more resources and try to max out all of that then. Because, you know, this is why I say that Boyle would play for me any day of the week, is because the other day I was talking about how I saw how hard it was for my grandparents. My grandma was a cleaning person at the Empire State Building. Until the day she retired, she would clean anything, anytime, all the time. And it was, she came over our house and she would vacuum. She would come over our house and she would clean. And be like, no, grandma, you don't have to rake leaves. No, you don't have to do that. But that's who she was. It was just immigrant work ethic. And, you know, I learned a lot from that. And I saw my dad leave when it was dark out and come home when it was dark. And I didn't see him during the day because he worked long hours. And I saw Pat, when I told this story, nodding his head like you had related to that. I don't know if it's your grandparent or your parent or something, but a work ethic that was just like, you got to take advantage of what you have and max out, because you've seen how hard it can be for other people. And we get the gift of doing what is supposed to be fun, but you also want to take it seriously and do it as well as you humanly could, everything that you have to do. So I know that there will be people disappointed that it doesn't go on, and that means the world to me. But I would just say, remember to focus on how great this was, because it was effing great. And we got 11 effing years out of this, and most things don't last that long in this business. So that's my final diatribe. Love all you guys, the D'Aliens. You're with me forever. Find me on my social media pages. I'll be on the air starting on Monday, and I don't get many vacation days at the new place. So I'll probably be on the air every single day. Welcome Maggie and Perloff, because they're good people, and because Pete and Bogues and Boyle are still with them, and they're the best, and we love them as very much as well. So for the final time, we are feeling good, we are doing well, and the PGP disconnects.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.